You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Hello and welcome to the Black Experience Hour. This is a weekly program. This is being recorded for the listening week that begins April 27th. Your reader's name is Susan Shirie. This week we'll be focusing on the April edition of the Denver Urban Spectrum. If time allows, you'll hear articles I've culled from various other sources. But first, the Denver Urban Spectrum front page says Rosalind B. Harris, iconic publisher, prepares community for Spectrum's new era. Inside of the front page, save the date. Denver Urban Spectrum 37th Anniversary Celebration. Rosalind B. Harris Retirement Party. Ruth Boyd Elder Abuse Foundation Benefit. October 19th, 2024 at Noor Event Center. Then first, a message from the publisher. Moving on and moving up. This month marks 37 years of publishing Denver Urban Spectrum. I was fortunate enough to publish and design 443 issues of our award-winning publication. And I say our because DUS belongs to all of us, the Denver community and all who helped breathe life into this voice. The words by all of you in the cover story are spoken individually, but represent everyone collectively who supported DUS for the last almost four decades. So where did the time go? They say life is fleeting, but that's what makes it beautiful. When I moved to Denver in 1980, I was the mother of two sons. Today, I am the proud and happy great-grandmother of Desiree. In April 1987, our first congratulatory letter was from then-Mayor Frederico Peña, and since that time, we have shared our pages with five other mayors, Wellington E. Webb, John D. Hickenlooper, Guillermo Bill Vidal, Michael B. Hancock, and currently Mike Johnston. And soon, in December, it will be time for me to turn my page with DUS and open another chapter, one that will be as gratifying and fruitful as the last one. Over the years, I focused on the future of our youth. Today, I want to focus on the future of our elders in honor of my mother with the Ruth Boyd Elder Abuse Foundation. I look forward to how the next team will take Denver Urban Spectrum to a new, parentheses, digital, era at the end of 2024, and I'm counting on continued community support. It is difficult to find the words to express my love and appreciation to everyone, but know that my faithful heart is full of gratitude and hope. P.S. Don't worry, I won't be leaving quietly. I'm going out with a bang. Our anniversary slash retirement slash benefit, titled Denver's Voice, will be held on October 19th, and I look forward to seeing all of the Denver community in the house. DUS celebrates 37 years as the community voice. Publisher Rosalind B. Harris, lauded for sustaining vital communication resource. This is written by Tanya Ishikawa. When Rosalind, quote, B. Harris, published her first issue of Denver Urban Spectrum in 1987, she was focused on her mission of spreading news about people of color, not on the distant future or what DUS would be almost four decades later. Quote, it was a job. I was thinking about how to keep the business going from behind the scenes. Harris recalls, she goes on, I was going with the flow, you know, and letting nature take its course, end quote. She didn't stay behind the scenes for long, though she has spent tens of thousands of hours in the office, laying out the publication, selling ads, supervising staff, paying bills, and ensuring the news magazine was delivered each month. Her dedication to her mission meant she went She was out and about at community events several times a week, all year long. Quote, I don't think I have been to any community meeting, gala, opening, protest, or barbecue that B hasn't been at, says Wanda James, a political mover and shaker, and the first black regent of the University of Colorado in 44 years. James goes on, almost everything that I hear about that's happening in Colorado, I learned through B and the urban spectrum. She's amazing. She's got her fingers on the pulse of the community, end quote, says James, who has known Harris for 20 years and advertised several businesses in DUS throughout the years. Wellington Webb, Denver's first black mayor who served for 12 years, in addition to 4 years as a Colorado state representative, described himself and wife Wilma Webb as very close advocates and good friends of Harris after decades of mutual support through the publication. Wilma served in the Colorado House of Representatives from 1980 to 1993 and was the initiator and sponsor of legislation that adopted Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday as a Colorado state holiday long before it became a national holiday. Quote, you can't find an event that B's not at, the former mayor jokes, adding that you can always find photos in DUS's around town section, proving her presence. He goes on, when I go somewhere and if she's not there, then I'm wondering, quote, why am I at this event? If it was important, she would be here, end quote. Mrs. Webb adds, I can't go anywhere or to any event where I don't see the presence of the Denver urban spectrum. It's a source of comfort to know that our news is being covered, like at the Blair Caldwell African American Research Library. Every time a new exhibit is created, I see B or her writers and photographers there. End quote. Harris has also created many DUS-sponsored events over the years, perhaps the most impactful being the annual African Americans Who Make a Difference, which recognizes community servants who are making history. Major anniversaries of the publication were celebrated with major galas, which, in the spirit of the news magazine, highlighted the notable contributions of community leaders in areas as diverse as performing and visual arts, politics, health, business, and sports. Building a woman-owned legacy. Harris met Norma J. Page on the first anniversary of DUS at a print shop where the publisher was ordering specially embossed invitations for an anniversary event. Page, who describes herself as a wife, mother, grandmother, and community servant, has played diverse roles at the publication through the years, including as an around-the-town columnist and event committee member. The publication has likely promoted fundraisers organized by Page. Quote, we did so many things together. We pulled all-nighters while she put things together, and I watched the inner workings of what it was to put a newspaper together before digital. Everything was pasted up, including the lines that you see separating columns. It was always so impeccably done, end quote, she says, describing Harris as tenacious. Like many DUS friends and supporters, Page, who is the vice president of the 100 Men Who Cook Black Tie fundraiser, I may have misread that, the 100 Men Who Cook Black Tie fundraiser, passes out the print publication to friends, family, and neighbors each month. Quote, it fortifies you as a woman to see this woman-owned business powering through and doing everything possible to make sure that it is a quality publication and showcasing who we are as women, she adds. The first few years of DUS cover stories and features were focused mostly on diverse women of color, including mega celebrity Oprah Winfrey, Oglala Lakota Human Services pioneer Della Badwound, Latina/Chicana muralist, social activist, painter, and activist Carlota D. Espinosa, Hispanic folk medicine healer Diana Velasquez, Dr. Justina Ford, CU professor and Chinese immigrant Evelyn Hu DeHart, and educator and activist Nita Gonzalez. Others who graced the cover and pages of Denver Urban Spectrum's early years were Miss Colorado LaTanya Hall, griot Opalanga Pugh, singer Indeya, matriarch of 5 Points Mama Zona Moore, and Cleo Parker Robinson. Originally called the Denver Journal for 1 month, the name was then changed to Denver Urban Spectrum. Gracing the very first cover was government contractor Sandra D. Bice. Both DUS and Harris are recognized for their maternal nurturing of the community. Not only have many young writers, photographers, and others been mentored through the years, but Harris established the Urban Spectrum Youth Foundation to provide hands-on journalism experiences to middle and high school students. She said working with youth and watching their growth were some of her proudest moments. At 12 years old, Kia Milan already saw Harris and Denver Urban Spectrum as pillars in the community that she wanted to emulate. Having picked up copies in the lobbies of recreation centers and churches, she decided she wanted to write stories. She sent a floppy disk to Harris, asking if her stories could be published in the newspaper. Quote, "Eventually we met and she invited me to be part of the Urban Spectrum Youth Foundation. I served as the editor on that youth paper for 3 years while in high school, overseeing meetings, helping pick stories, and working with the graphic designer," end quote, explains Milan, who is now a creative content marketing manager for Netflix. Quote, "The Youth Foundation really gave me an opportunity to see what my future could potentially look like. There were guest speakers who came in and talked to us about their careers. Those leadership opportunities, which I had at 15 and 16 years old, helped me as I entered the job world, and I had no problem getting up in front of meetings," end quote, she says. In her personal life as well, Harris has been a doting mother, grandmother, and now great-grandmother. She even adopted African sons during a trip with Mayor Webb's delegation to Africa in the late 90s. Malovi Melvin began as a high school intern with DUS, learning most aspects of the business in 2015, and today works as the social media and digital marketing manager. Quote, "I was fortunate, very fortunate, and blessed that Ms. Harris saw potential in me and offered me a permanent position. I was just embraced and introduced to so much through Denver Urban Spectrum, from knowing the different types of great organizations that are here in Colorado, and the different stories," end quote, Melvin remembers. While meeting national leaders like Maya Angelou, the Obamas, Tyler Perry, Quincy Jones, and Oprah Winfrey have been especially satisfying over the decades, Harris was just as inspired by local heroes like marathon runner Essie Garrett, educators Rachel B. Noel and Marie Greenwood, sculptor Ed Dwight, rodeo visionary Lou Vasson, Little Rock Nine's Carlotta Walls-Lanier, and musical legend Charles Burrell. Quote, "Before Essie passed away, she said she only wanted Denver Urban Spectrum to do her story. Moments like that show me how important it has been to be the voice for so many people," end quote, explains Harris. She goes on, "I always think about the time when we were working late one night and a fax came in at about 4 in the morning. It was from community activist Ashara Ekundayo, sending an announcement and hoping it would make the deadline into the newspaper because it was important for us as the community voice," she says. Recording essential history for the benefit of all. Former Denver Mayor Michael Hancock, blues powerhouse vocalist Hazel Miller, media personalities, pardon me, Rinalda Muse, Tamara Banks, and James Dr. Daddio Walker, MLK Jr., African American Heritage Rodeo, the Honorable Wedgeworth, Dr. Sil Morgan Smith, Bronco Super Bowl champion Rod Smith, and a long list of inspiring community leaders and institutions have graced the covers of DUS. The articles and editorials on the inside pages have been just as significant, covering activists, church leaders, entertainers, health issues, education, social injustices, and other topics of importance to communities of color. Founder and CEO Richard Lewis of RTL Networks Incorporated, an award-winning technology leader with an international presence in government sectors, says this, quote, Denver Urban Spectrum is an essential part of not just the Denver metro area, but Colorado in general. There's a lot that happens in our community that just doesn't get picked up by the mainstream. I can't imagine Denver as a person of color without the Denver Urban Spectrum. B is like a cheerleader for the community. She is so full of energy and connected in so many ways, and she is just always there to encourage people and share what they need to know, end quote. Comments Lewis, who also founded the RTL Foundation as a development center that incubates nonprofits serving the BIPOC community, parentheses, Black, Indigenous, people of color. Being around for 37 years is no accident, he continues. I don't know if there's any greater endorsement as to the importance of an organization than that, end quote. Meeting challenges with grace and determination. Harris has served on many boards throughout the community, being a resource to those organizations as they have been resources for residents. She not only served on the board of Cleo Park and Robinson Dance for several years, but she also raised money for the organization by performing in the Dancing with the Denver Stars Gala. Dance and cultural institution founder Cleo Parker Robinson explains, quote, our company is 54 years this year. Denver Urban Spectrum has been in our lives since its beginning and is the soul of the community. People will see me at Safeway, or they'll see me at the park, and they'll tell me what I'm doing, and I'm thinking, how do they know? And then I realize that B has already covered it in the publication. I think people can cover news, but if they don't do it in a way that touches people's hearts, then it doesn't stick. And somehow she does it with the photographs and the storytelling and the facts and all of those things combined, because she is absolutely present, end quote, says Parker Robinson. She describes the DUS's coverage of the community and events, even deaths and difficult news, as smooth, having real dignity and depth, with great ease, intention, and grace. Quote, I call her a true griot, a real storyteller. Denver Urban Spectrum helps us just feel so empowered, I think more than any other publication that I know of, end quote, she says. She also appreciates the affordability and creativity of advertising and marketing options in DUS. At the same time, Parker Robinson and others agree on the, quote, tremendous planning and work that it takes. It's hard to keep publications alive. I mean, she works overtime and always smiling. You know, you never know how hard she's really working. She's never telling you about the blues, although she may have them, or she may know about them, but she never brings you down that rabbit hole of whatever it is that she's covering, even in the community. I think that's pretty extraordinary, because she gets to see the beauty and the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything, end quote, she says. Harris admits there have been challenging times. Three in particular. The first one happened only 2 years after the publication's founding, when a fire destroyed the offices on New Year's Eve in 1989. Quote, but you know, I saw from the community that DUS was important because they rallied. They held fundraisers throughout the city. We were only 2 years old, but it was then that I realized the importance of needing to tell the stories of color that were not covered in the mainstream publications, she remembers. That was the only time in the publication's history that a print edition was delayed. In 1990, the January and February issues were combined. The second big challenge has always been getting funding and sufficient advertising support to pay for printing and build a staff. After being solely supported by advertising dollars for so many years, quote, That's one thing I'd say about COVID. It did bring grant opportunities, and I think it opened the doors for other journalism funding opportunities. The Colorado Media Project and other media-based programs and organizations saw the need to keep local journalism alive. We have really been supported these last few years, end quote, she says. The third challenge was when her mother passed away suddenly and violently in 2008. Quote, it was a big challenge, a shock, and one of the reasons I'm looking forward to pursuing my next chapter, to help carry on her legacy through the Ruth Boyd Elder Abuse Foundation, end quote, Harris shares. Setting up award-winning tradition for future generations. Colorado Press Association CEO Tim Regan Porter said the staying power of DUS is remarkable, especially as a very small business. Quote, to hold on to that long in an environment that has changed so much, I mean, so many publications have gone out of business in the last 15 years, really since 2006, which was kind of the peak of the newspaper industry. It's a lot of work, it's exhausting, no matter the economic environment. It's a labor of love, and so I commend anybody who's still out there making it happen, end quote, comments Regan Porter. He observed that, quote, other journalists in Denver and the suburbs pay attention to Denver urban spectrum, and it helps them tell their stories better and become more aware. The work that Bea and her team does elevates the community and makes it harder to ignore, intentionally or unintentionally. Parker Robinson summed up the legacy of Denver Urban Spectrum's publisher, quote, she's just loved, and there's nothing greater than to work so hard all your life and to really be loved. She's really respected, and she doesn't take herself so seriously. She's humble, and I think that she's just a great, great role model, end quote. That article was edited for length. Following that, we have another one written by Tanya Ishikawa. Denver Urban Spectrum prepares for publisher's exit. Rosalind B. Harris's retirement signals a new era of, quote, spreading the news about people of color. This will be edited for length as well. In April 1993, 6 years after the first issue of Denver Urban Spectrum was published as a tabloid newspaper, the World Wide Web launched into the public domain. Though some sources report that the first online news was published in the 1980s, printed newspapers and magazines would remain the main vehicle for news until the mid-2000s. DUS publisher Rosalind B. Harris was keeping her finger on the pulse of the Black community, while keeping an eye on the development of the Internet. She added a website featuring articles and photos from the print publication in the early 2000s. When social media and other online platforms started becoming ways to reach readers, Harris and her staff educated themselves and adopted the digital tools that fit the community's needs. She vividly remembers one DUS anniversary gala where TV and video journalist Tamara Banks and Greg Moore, a Denver Post editor of 14 years, talked about the changing media landscape. Harris realized that she and the Spectrum would need to continue to transform with the times. Now, after 37 years at the helm, the iconic publisher is making another type of transformation, retirement, and handing off her baby to her staff at the end of 2024. She says, quote, I think that we're grounded now, thanks to some outside support. We are prepared and still preparing to continue to be the voice of the communities of color in a much wider space, digitally and globally, end quote. A tradition of staying relevant. With the rise of free online news sources, traditional advertising revenues have declined in the newspaper industry. While DUS has added email advertising and other revenue sources to the mix, grants from the Rose Community Foundation, Colorado Media Project, the Knight Foundation, and Bloom Lab, among others, have supported staff transitions and additional digital innovations. Quote, I'm glad that my retirement is happening now, when the younger generation is in a position to take over as well as do some of the things that I don't want to do, I don't want to learn any more technological platforms. I have other projects and interests that I've been waiting to explore, she says, end quote. She assures that Denver Urban Spectrum is being positioned to carry on for years to come, though she cautions there's still a lot of work for her to transition away and for the new leaders. Former Denver Mayor Wellington Webb has stayed engaged in community leadership since leaving office in 2003, both supporting and getting coverage from DUS over the years. Quote, I think it's important to stay relevant not only with issues, but also with the technology. Older people read more. The younger generation likes more digital information. By virtue of having both print and digital, Denver Urban Spectrum has the ability to get information to the whole community, end quote, he says. While Denver and Colorado don't have as large of a black population as some major metropolitan areas in the nation, Webb says the accomplishments of the community here are just as important and newsworthy. Having an evolving information source like DUS is just as pertinent as in those other cities. Colorado Press Association CEO Tim Reagan Porter echoed those comments, describing how difficult it was for him and his family to see less diversity when he moved here from a majority black community in the South. Quote, I think as we've gotten to know Denver and the black community here, we can see how it is such an important part of Denver. And I think it's so important that Denver Urban Spectrum is here to not only serve that community, but also to be a visible presence for the rest of the community, to show what the black community in Denver is doing and what an important part of Denver it is, end quote, he says. People in the news industry have a tremendous amount of respect and pay attention to what's going on in the pages and with the business of Denver Urban Spectrum, observes Reagan Porter, adding that DUS has been involved in many exciting projects that bring state-of-the-art tools to its advertising, reader interaction, and operations. Unlike the leaders of some legacy publications, decades-old family or entrepreneur-owned companies, Harris recognizes the need to adapt to technological change and has surrounded herself with people who also recognize the need and are digitally savvy. He notes, quote, B is just a prime example of why a publisher is needed and of the good work they can do in the community and how important they are to the publication. They establish the sustainability of the publication with the business community and readers and set that vision for its evolution as new technologies emerge and consumer habits shift, end quote, he says. The next generation is ready. Malovi Melvin's social media and digital marketing manager has been at the center of DUS's digital transformation. The youngest permanent staff member, she brings an enthusiasm and innate desire to learn to her role. Melvin was hired as an all-around assistant right after high school graduation through a City of Denver internship program and began her journalism studies with a scholarship to Metropolitan State University of Denver at the same time. Working closely with Harris, her tasks have ranged from office assistant tasks to writing stories and posting on social media. Quote, journalism and writing stories has been something I've always had a passion for, and it even developed more in college when I started getting into broadcasting and producing, Melvin says. Goes on, my internship with the Spectrum made it clear for me that this was what I was meant to do. Under the great leadership and mentorship of B. Harris, it just couldn't be any more perfect, and that's why I continue to stay on. I've seen the publication going into this digital transformation. It's been interesting and it's been a learning experience. I'm just grateful to be along for the ride. Longtime friend and collaborator on DUS projects, Norma J. Page, ironically has no problem imagining Denver Urban Spectrum without Harris. She says, quote, because for everything there's a season. Nothing remains the same, and I'm excited to see the evolution. You know, we're all now at that stage where we want to pass the baton. We want to see what our next generation will do with the foundations that we've laid. So yes, I can imagine it without her, and I can't wait to see what that will look like." End quote. At the same time, Page describes Harris as a one-of-a-kind busy bee who may be retiring and stepping aside from DUS, but she'll keep moving into things that will continue to improve our society, community, and world. Wanda James, University of Colorado Regent and Simply Pure Cannabis Dispensary CEO, expresses her love for Harris and sadness over her departure, but added that it will be fine. Quote, "I don't think you can carry on her legacy, honestly. You know, real talk. But I don't know that anyone can step into Bee's shoes and do what Bee does. And I mean that in a good way, not in a negative way, right? I mean, I'm not saying that no one else can make this work. Yes, there can be other people. But then the spectrum is going to be a different and equally as spectacular. I hope that the new person realizes that and they create a Denver Urban Spectrum 2.0. Because nobody in Denver will be able to walk in Bee's shoes and have that level of trust and understanding of history. So I think if I had to give advice to the next publisher, it would be to build on what's been built, but if you're going to try to recreate who Bee is and what she's done, I don't think that you can. Nope. I know that you can't." End quote. Community support as important as ever. RTL Networks, Inc. and BIPOC Nonprofit Development Center founder Richard Lewis finds it very difficult to imagine Denver Urban Spectrum without Bee Harris, but she's earned this time to herself, so, pardon me, that's quoting him, very difficult to imagine Denver Urban Spectrum without Bee Harris, but she's earned this time to herself, so we're very happy for her, and knowing the operator that she is, I'm sure she will figure out how to make sure that Denver Urban Spectrum has just as much impact and energy as it always has, even without her, end quote. Lewis adds, quote, "Just because Bee is retiring does not make any of the amazing work of the DUS any less important, so it's going to be probably even more critical than ever that we get out there and support it in Bee's absence," end quote. The Webs agreed with the increased importance of supporting DUS after Harris's well-deserved retirement. They also expect she'll be around to support the new publisher. Quote, "The community is going to have to come together and support it financially, and not only just financially, but also promote it so that these corporations know it's important," end quote, says Wellington. Wilma adds, quote, "We have to have some faith and trust in what Bee has done, what Denver Urban Spectrum has already done, so that those who are standing on her shoulders can go forward," end quote. Calling Harris one of the pioneers in Denver's media landscape, Wellington concludes, quote, "It's still the voice of our community. It's still the place where we can go to find out what's happening in our community and not just all of the quote-unquote negative things that regular media is going to focus on. It's still the place where we can discover what is happening with us. It's still the place where we can advertise our small businesses and know that they are reaching the people that we want to see be patrons to our small businesses," end quote. Associate publisher Winkfield revealed that she just turned 38, 1 year younger than the Spectrum. Quote, "So it's all I've ever known and has been there my entire life as a resource," end quote. She wants the next generation to know they have a voice and a place where they can share celebrations as well as trials they may face and learn from others' stories. Quote, "It's absolutely critical in these times of misinformation, when there's also an agenda to erase history, that DUS continues to serve as a modern-day historian, not only telling the stories, but getting the facts and being a trustworthy new source," end quote. For her part, she says she will strive to make DUS increasingly accessible, both in print and online, and inclusive to all ages and all people. She'll be innovative, strategic, and look for ways to be sustainable and engage with the community. Managing Editor Jones reiterated Denver Urban Spectrum's commitment to keeping up with the changing times, such as adding YouTube videos and a podcast network, but also holding true to tradition and the print edition. Quote, "If you look at during the pandemic, Denver Urban Spectrum was able to meet the community's needs through digital news, which was huge. I mean, the whole world changed and people were shuttered inside. But DUS still found a way to speak to people, to bring people together, and to show that the community hadn't been forgotten. And I just hope that as the future progresses, the community will show Denver Urban Spectrum that it hasn't been forgotten as well," end quote, she said. And end of that article, which was edited for length. Next, Urban Bush Women Celebrate 40th Anniversary of Dance in Denver. Still reading from the Denver Urban Spectrum, April edition. The Newman Center for the Performing Arts is a nationally recognized arts, culture, and entertainment venue. Located on the University of Denver campus, the Newman Center has featured some of the world's finest dance ensembles within its intimate Gates Concert Hall. Performances in recent years include Dance Theater of Harlem, Paul Taylor Dance Company, and the Martha Graham Dance Company. On April 12th, the Brooklyn-based Urban Bush Women Incorporated will celebrate the 40th anniversary of the dance company's legacy with a performance at the Newman Center titled Legacy and Lineage and Liberation. Legacy plus Lineage plus Liberation features new work by co-artistic directors Shannon Judson and Mamie Diaris Bees, along with iconic works by founder Jawali Willa, Joe Zoller. Based in Brooklyn and formed by Zoller in 1984, UBW was created using dance as a mechanism to tell stories that are often ignored or underrepresented. Each of the works presented in April depict multiple dimensions of life, resonating in a time of reflection around equity and justice, while uplifting Black lives in inspiring ways. Off the concert stage, UBW has developed an extensive community engagement program called BOLD, Builders, Organizers, and Leaders Through Dance, which was created as a unique approach to facilitating dialogue within organizations. BOLD workshops are held using a unique blend of conversation and movement to improve communication in work environments. In addition, UBW's Summer Leadership Institute is an intensive 10-day convening where participants learn effective ways to deepen or begin work as artists, connecting art to community organizing and progressive social change strategization. As part of the Denver visit, the ensemble will perform for students at South High School. The UBW Dance Company takes its role as a platform for artistic world improvement very seriously. The powerful choreography transcends genres with musicality and reflections of empathy and joy. Patrons will leave the Legacy plus Lineage plus Liberation performances feeling energized and inspired. Next, Saudi Aurora. Colorado filmmaker calls for gun control with debut short film. This written by Kristen Aldridge. Photographer, filmmaker, and Aurora native Brian Hollowell is making waves at spring film festivals around the country with the release of his directorial debut titled Saudi Aurora. The independent drama short film premiered February at the Da Vinci International Film Festival in Los Angeles. From April 4th through the 8th, it was shown under the African American Directed Shorts category at the Phoenix Film Festival. And it is in contention for an award at the Chicago Horror Film Festival from May 4th through 5th at Chicago's Facets Theater. Inspired by the infamous 2012 mass shooting at an Aurora movie theater, Hollowell hopes his film will aid in the fight for safer gun laws, ultimately preventing the tragic violence that took place one fateful night over a decade ago. When Tragedy Hits Home. On July 19, 2012, 24-year-old gunman James Holmes entered through an exit door at the Century 16 movie theater in Aurora. The theater was packed full of Batman enthusiasts of all ages for a special midnight premiere of The Dark Knight Rises. Dressed in tactical clothing, Holmes set off tear gas grenades and began firing indiscriminately into the audience with multiple high-powered firearms. 12 people were killed and 70 others were injured, 58 from gunfire. Dubbed the Century 16 Massacre, that night changed the lives of many. Residents of Aurora were shaken by the news of the shooting, which occurred in the same parking lot as the popular town center of Aurora Mall and retail district. The nation watched in horror and disbelief as news coverage detailed the heinous crime. For Hollowell, the event hit too close to home. Hollowell was a Batman fan who was excited to attend the midnight premiere of the third and final film in the Batman saga. He recalls, quote, "My girlfriend and I were excited to see the movie and have a good time," end quote. On the way to the theater, an argument ensued, disrupting the couple's plans. Quote, "I dropped her off at home. We were pretty upset, so I called my friend to see what he was doing," says Hollowell, who went on to discover his passion for photography. That very night, he met up with his friend at a local concert and was attempting to forget the previous argument when he encountered a photographer at the show. Quote, "Just out of the blue, I asked if I could hold his camera and take some pictures," he says. Immediately, Hollowell fell in love with the art of photography. After the concert, he contemplated attending a later viewing of The Dark Knight Rises without his then-girlfriend. Quote, "There was still one more showing of the film. I was debating with myself," end quote. Instead, he decided to call it a night and go home. He had no idea what the unsuspecting midnight audience had endured in the dark theater he was coincidentally absent from. The next morning, Hollowell woke up to his startled mother rushing into his room. Quote, "Mother looked like she just saw a ghost. She told me to turn on the news." He watched a news report about the shooting that occurred in the same theater he had planned to attend. Quote, "All I remember is my ears ringing and I felt sick to my stomach. I was supposed to be there in one of those seats. I decided to turn around and not go to the movies. That saved my life," end quote. Beauty from the pain. The ultimate argument between Hollowell and his former girlfriend detoured his night, but led to one of the greatest realizations of his life. His love for photography was born from the anger and frustration he experienced, and in the midst of one of the country's most devastating acts of violence. After the narrowly averted event in a concert where a stranger shared his camera, he jumped at every opportunity to use a camera. Quote, "I would take pictures of my friends, weddings, and family." He enrolled at the Art Institute of Denver to hone his newfound interest and learn skills that would refine his gift. While in art school, he participated in the Isachar Urban Leadership Program, which provided an opportunity to take part in an apprenticeship while ministering the Word of God to others. Hollowell discovered that this allowed him to be more connected to God, sharpening his God-given photography talent. After completing his studies, he went full force to build a new career. Quote, "I went out to New York, shot New York Fashion Week, and took advantage of what the city could offer," end quote. Hollowell spent a year in New York City and networked with several people in the film industry while living and working there. Quote, "I would drop film equipment off to studio sets and get excited because I was on a famous set," end quote. He laughs. He recently hosted a photo shoot featuring Deion Primetime Sanders during his coaching tenure at University of Colorado Boulder. His photography has been featured in Yoga Journal, 5280 Magazine, Google, and Essence Magazine. Quote, God has used photography as a vehicle that has taken me many places over the last 11 years. It has even landed me here as a filmmaker and writer, end quote. He shares, detailing the ways in which his love of photography slowly evolved into a love of film production, directing, and writing. The making of Saudi Aurora. Ever since the Aurora Century 16 shooting, Hollowell has had an urge to tell the story from his perspective. Throughout the years, he has interviewed and talked to people who were there in the theater, as well as families of the victims. Despite his efforts, he faced a great deal of opposition. Quote, no one wanted to relive the trauma of that night, end quote, he explains. Feeling compelled to memorialize the story in his own way, he began writing a script about the tragic night. He studied the incident case files and referenced other mass shootings as a resource, drawing attention to the smallest details which could help people understand the severity of each scene. Quote, there is an emphasis on popcorn in the film, he points out. When I was talking to people about that night, the smell of popcorn was a prominent memory that came up for people. Some people can't even eat popcorn today because of that night, end quote. Saudi Aurora started as a pilot for a television show before evolving into a feature film. He started a gathering of people and started filmmaking in 2021, but had to end production due to COVID-19 restrictions. He says, I was devastated. I thought I would not be able to make this film, end quote. He persisted and didn't let the setback put an end to the fulfillment of his dream. He went back to the drawing board and changed a few things, shortening the runtime to 9 minutes, which was the duration of the massacre. Hollowell hopes that Saudi Aurora will bring attention to the need for stricter gun laws in the United States by shining a spotlight on a real event that affected countless lives. He desires to motivate lawmakers to take action to prevent mass shootings in every possible way. And now I'm going to move to other publications for the remaining minutes. From History Colorado, there is an event worth mentioning from their Blaxplanation feature area, a virtual information session titled Travel Back to Move Forward Overnight Tour, April 29th, from 6 to 7, online only, an information session by Annie Steele. Curious to learn more about Blaxplanation's first overnight trip in June, titled Travel Back to Move Forward, Revision Buffalo Soldiers at Fort Garland Museum? Join us for a virtual information session with the speakers and planners for this trip. We'll discuss the itinerary for the overnight experience, and you'll be able to ask any lingering questions before you book your spot. Hope to see you there. It says more about that event. Registration deadline for it, the overnight itself, is May 24th, and says, for the first time, Blaxplanation is going on the road. Let's travel to the Fort Garland Museum and Cultural Center to learn about the All-Black Regiment post-Civil War, the Buffalo Soldiers. Nina Amos, the first female president of the Buffalo Soldiers 9th and 10th Horse Cavalry National Association, and Chip Thomas, the lead artist for the museum's new exhibit, Buffalo Soldiers Revision, will guide us through an experience to engage with the histories, both inspiring and complicated, of the Buffalo Soldiers. We will meet with Ms. Amos and Mr. Thomas to discuss the new exhibit, as well as the museum's previous work exploring the Buffalo Soldiers. This meeting of the historical with the artistic will give us the opportunity to engage with these real people and our responsibility to make sure their stories are continuously told. Also included in this overnight tour is a cultural hike hosted by San Luis Valley Go and a dark night sky viewing at the Great Sand Dunes National Park. The cost for this overnight is, says, $325 to $425. The tags for it at History Colorado are Blaxplanation, Black Colorado History, and Native American Heritage. During this overnight trip, lodging, lunches, guides, speakers, and transportation will be covered by your ticket. You may drive yourself and meet us in Fort Garland, but please note that the ticket price will remain the same. And once again, the date for the overnight is in June, June 28th to 29th. And if you're interested in this, contact historycolorado.org. And possibly our final article comes from NPR, CPR News, for their special series, Black History Month 2024. This was posted originally in February 19th, written by Barry Gordimer. The first Black Peanuts character finally gets his origin story in an animated special. Apple TV Plus is streaming the original story of the first Black character in the Peanuts comic strip. The special is called Snoopy Presents, Welcome Home Franklin. It's about how Franklin met Charlie Brown, Linus, Lucy, Snoopy, and the rest of the Peanuts gang. Quote, a Franklin special is really overdue, said Craig Schultz, the co-writer of the show and son of Peanuts creator Charles Schultz, in an interview with Morning Edition. Charles Schultz first drew Franklin in 1968 after receiving a letter from a white Los Angeles schoolteacher named Harriet Glickman. She reached out to Schultz following the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. She wrote, quote, I've been asking myself what I can do to help change those conditions in our society which led to the assassination, end quote. Glickman suggested that adding a Black character to the Peanuts cast could help change the, quote, vast sea of misunderstanding, fear, hate, and violence, end quote. Schultz wrote back and said he'd been thinking about adding a Black character, but was concerned it might be seen as, quote, patronizing. Craig Schultz says his father was unsure how to move forward. Quote, he didn't know much about the Black generation at that time other than what you saw on TV, said Craig Schultz. He went on, he had some Black friends, but didn't think that was enough to take on the responsibility of creating a Black character, end quote. But Charles Schultz figured it out. They include here a letter written by him to Harriet Glickman, and it says, Dear Mrs. Glickman, you will be pleased to know that I have taken the first step in doing something about presenting a Negro child in the comic strip during the week of July 29th. I have drawn an episode which I think will please you. Kindest regards, Charles M. Schultz. A few months later, he wrote to Harriet Glickman, telling her to keep an eye out for a Peanuts strip publishing in late July. The strip follows Franklin rescuing Charlie Brown's runaway beach ball. The image was powerful, a Black child and a white child together on a beach at a time when many public beaches were segregated. Welcome Home Franklin recreates that meeting on the beach and marks the beginning of his friendship with Charlie Brown. The Apple TV Plus special also revisits another key moment in Franklin's history. A few years after his debut in print, Franklin made his first television appearance. In 1973, he was one of the dinner guests in a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. But one scene in the animated Thanksgiving special didn't sit well with audiences today. It shows Franklin sitting alone on one side of the dinner table while all of the white characters sit on the other side. Quote, it's so very easy to get offended or upset, said Robin Reed, who was 11 years old when he performed the voice of Franklin. He told MSNBC in 2021, quote, we have to remember that at that time, that actually represented progress, end quote. But the producers of Welcome Home Franklin wanted a do-over. Director Raymond S. Percy said, quote, We were able to recreate that scene and turn something that was this unfortunate controversy into a moment for people to talk about, end quote. This time, the dinner scene takes place in a pizza restaurant. Franklin again sits by himself on one side of the table. The white children sit on the other side. But Linus stands up and says, "Hey, Franklin, we saved a seat over here. Come join us," end quote. Percy said, quote, "The characters are real to me. They're real little kids. What's cool is now we get to know Franklin a little better, and we get a chance to see the other characters kind of in a new light because we get to see them through his eyes," end quote. And that brings me to the end of our hour for this week. Thank you so much for joining us for the Black Experience Hour.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.